The unique history of Salem, Massachusetts hits a milestone of sorts this summer. It will be 325 years this July since 19 women were hanged for practicing witchcraft. Although this history is well documented, historians and Salem officials recently announced that the site of the hangings was not where it was believed to be. It was thought to be in a place called Gallows Hill, but now they say the hangings actually took place in an area known as Proctor's Ledge, and they're planning a new memorial in the historically accurate spot to mark this summer's anniversary. This story is a big part of the latest novel by Salem author Brynonia Barry, and Barry herself is a descendant of Rebecca Nurse, one of the women hanged as a witch. Barry's new novel, titled The Fifth Petal, weaves the story of the accused women with present-day research and a dash of mysticism to create a captivating murder mystery. We met with Barry at the Salem Athenaeum, one of the oldest private libraries in the country, to talk about her book.
This is great,
isn't it?
It's so quiet.
It is. It's a great place to write.
The Athenaeum smells a bit musty in some spots, with shelves of books lining up along the walls, and out a half-moon window on the second floor, you can see the popular tourist site, the Witch House.
The floor's got a little tilt to
it. It sure does, yes. Yes.
Here among the books, some of them 3 centuries old, is where Brynonia Barry writes. She shows us the seat at the wooden table where she wrote her latest novel, and she tells us how it came about.
There are a couple times a week when you can come in and just work kind of silently, and it's usually poets in here, and I swear it raises your game to just work in the presence of poets.
Well, let's talk about your new book, which The Fifth Petal, which opens in 2014, and it's Halloween, and we're introduced to the 2 main characters in the book, the police chief of Salem and a woman who is a historian, Rose, who has been traumatized, and she's...
suffered from complex trauma.
Oh, yeah, okay,
basically.
That's good. And in that introduction to those characters, you're telling us about Proctor's Ledge as the site where 19 women were hanged.
Right. And one man pressed to death, yeah.
And Rose was convinced that that was the site of the real hanging, even though the historical records had said it was somewhere else.
Yes.
And this happened in real life. Yeah, explain that.
It did. I was very lucky. I think it's probably the worst kept secret in Salem, is that the Gallows Hill is not the site of the hangings. There were a couple reasons for this, and one is that the hanging bodies had to be visible from town, and Gallows Hill would not have been. It was sort of a cautionary tale, the wages of sin sort of thing. And so we knew that the real hanging site was right near, right behind a Walgreens parking lot, actually. And they will be building a memorial there. As this book went to press, there was a group, the Gallows Hill Project, which was historians. We have many historians in town, and writers and scientists, absolutely verified the spot where this all took place.
Huh.
And so I was very lucky because I had written it. I mean, the research really shows you that that's true.
Right. And so did you know that while you were writing?
I did know
it. Was this something going around town that wasn't the real site for a very long time and that was how it figured into your writing?
I think we all anyone who's really studied it sort of knew that. But what I took a chance on was that I said there was not a gallows built ever. There were no historical records of gallows being built. And Salem really had records of every cent they spent. And so I guessed it was a tree, a hardwood, probably an oak. And very luckily for me, I took a chance and said that's what Rose believed. And very lucky for me, as this went to press, the Gallows Hill Project declared the same thing.
So, yeah, you're very lucky.
I am very lucky. But, all the records sort of led to that.
Yeah.
So I took a chance.
So how much did you have to use records in your writing?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah?
A lot. This book took 5 years, and I think half of it was research. And research not only into Salem's history, but, if you write fiction, there are so many historians here, you better get it right.
You're going to hear.
Yeah, you're going to hear if you get it wrong. And then I was studying other things like music therapy and sound healing and quantum mechanics and all sorts of things that figure in the book. And I think I could have just kept studying and never written the book at all.
Now, this book and your other book, The Lace Reader, and they're set in Salem.
Yes.
They deal with, shall we say, the supernatural, mm-hmm. sort of reputation of Salem, and raise questions about those things. Why do you want to do that in your novels?
Well, I think Salem is a place that sort of celebrates that. There were no witches here in 1692, but we have a lot now. And there are a lot of people who are psychic readers. And you know, I always say to my husband, you better watch what you think when you walk around town, because half the people are reading you. So, and I had a mom who was quite prescient in her knowledge of things she shouldn't have known. Certainly when I was younger, knowing where I was when I wasn't supposed to be there and things like this. But so I kind of grew up with this psychic connection. I don't necessarily have it.
No?
But I, maybe a little bit once in a while, but nothing I can really use.
Mm-hmm.
I can't bet on the lottery or anything. You know? So I always try to include things that can either be theorized by science, but can also exist in this sort of supernatural level. And that's from living in Salem, I think. You're just faced with this a lot.
So when you're writing, would you say this book uses more historical records than others? And I mean, is this the most historical research you've done
for me,
any of your novels?
Yes, it definitely is. Because I really wanted to mirror what happened in 1692. And Rose's character really mirrors Sarah Good's. And so I wanted to look into her history.
And is that how you started thinking about this book?
It is. I started thinking about it originally because I had pitched a book about banshees. And people said, oh, yes, drop everything and do that.
Explain what a banshee is for folks.
A banshee in the Irish culture, certainly the Celtic culture, is someone who predicts death. And a lot of Irish families claim to have one. And usually the banshee moans or wails, and then you know someone in your family is going to die.
And there's a lot of Celtic mythology in
there
the
is.
Book here. Now, when you were doing your research on that, tell me, what did you find in terms of that influence
here
in Salem?
Mm. Well, a number of the pagan community worship the Celtic pantheon, so I thought that would be a good one to choose. I mean, it can be Greek or Roman or whatever, but it happens here that there are a lot of people of Irish descent or Scottish or, you know, whatever Celtic religion, and so it's kind of popular. So I thought, and I do a lot of consulting with the local pagan community and local witches. So I have all sorts of people I go to for advice, you know. Does this hold true?
Yeah, you do. You run
it
by,
I do.
Yeah.
It's... Yep, you have to check with a historian.
Even though it's fiction, you want to mm-hmm. make sure that it's why.
I think in order to have the fiction be believable, you really need to make sure everything else is. And so, and in Salem, you know, if you change a location, or you know, you better say so in your acknowledgments, because people will call you on it. So, because it's odd to write a fiction book about a real place. So I think it has to, the things that are true have to be very true. You have to make sure, can't take too many liberties with the way a place looks or, you know, where it's situated.
And your own history is from here.
It is.
It is.
So that plays into things quite well.
Right. How did that inform your writing, do you think?
Well, we have, we are related to Rebecca Nurse's family. We also have an accuser hanging from our family tree, and no one has bothered to really look into that. I'm going to do that just because I think that's interesting too. So I think there's a generational guilt that is prevalent in Salem if your family's been here a long time. So that informs my writing as well.
Yeah, your book describes a spectacle that is Halloween in Salem, and there obviously is a lot of interest in witches and the supernatural and psychic abilities. And I'm wondering how you think that balances with this gruesome history of Salem. There was a big debate when they wanted to put a Bewitched statue in the center of town from the television show. And are people, do you think, remembering that history in an appropriate way? Or how would you describe it?
I think we're a town divided actually. Really? I do. I think when I first moved here, there was a movement to ditch the witch, and that didn't mean the new witches who lived in town. That meant the dark history, and that we're known for just that. I mean, we have 5 libraries. We're the cultural center of the North Shore, and we have a lot going for us. And people come here because of the history. I think the mayor said at that point, we had a bad 9 months several hundred years ago, and no one's ever going to let us forget it. But the fact is, people do come for the history, and now we're trying to show them what else we've got. I think that's it.
And do you think there's renewed interest in things supernatural?
Well, I think so. I mean, there's certainly with Harry Potter and all of that.
Right.
And I think when you feel powerless, you like to believe. And I think that's why children love those stories so much. And I think you like to believe there's some magic beyond yourself that can help you. And I think that's great.
Are there still lessons that you think can be learned?
Oh, I do. I do.
I thought so.
I think that, I mean, that's really why I wrote this book. I think it's a cautionary tale. My thought when I wrote it was, could a witch hunt happen again in Salem? They're certainly happening all over the world. And I mean in different, you know, metaphorically different ways. And if it did happen in Salem, what would it look like? And my mind immediately went to a homeless, mentally ill, you know, someone who's really suffering, who we make other. But I think creating people who are other is something that sadly is happening everywhere. So I think there's a cautionary tale in what happened here.
Author Brynonia Berry's new novel is The Fifth Petal. We spoke with her at the Salem Athenaeum. Her next reading is in Concord, Massachusetts on March 2nd. You can find more information about that at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.